You've selected the Family-Friendly Morning Show podcast with John Baglio.
We were joined on the morning show by author, speaker, consul to Uganda, attorney, Bob Goff. Bob has just released a new book called Love Does. Bob, a privilege to have you here. Good morning.
Hey, good morning. How are you today?
I am doing well. How are you, sir?
All's well. Just enjoying the sun coming up here in San Diego. I think I'm a couple hours behind you.
I can tell you that the sun has already arrived here.
All right. Well, it's good to know how my day's going to turn out. Terrific.
I love your book, by the way. I'm
really glad you liked it.
I want to say that up front. I got a chance to meet you in Arizona.
I think I was just, wasn't that all like Red Bull and Pop-Tarts? Because I'd just gotten back from Uganda, I think, the night before.
That to me is, I think, probably my favorite morning diet as well. I don't know how good it is for me, but
it's got all the food groups there.
Exactly. Yeah. As long as you get like a fruit Pop-Tart, then you're good. You get all your food groups.
I like those ones that are the s'mores, though. They'll change your life. Yes. I used to be like, 5'8". I ate those, and I'm 6'4".
Wow, no kidding.
Yeah, well, excellent. And 225 pounds.
Yeah. you grew in more ways than one, as we tend to do, yes. Well, so good to talk to you. I appreciate you carving out some time, especially knowing that it's super early there. I just want to be able to share with our listeners some of your passion and some of your vision, because I think it is going to be so inspiring for people. I know it has been for me. Not to ask too broad a question, but the book is called Love Does. Talk to me about that concept and what inspired you to put sort of your life story on paper.
I think of the when I met a woman, Maria, who would be my wife. She wasn't having any of that. She wanted to have me read books about being friends. And this dumb book called The Friendship Factor is the one that came to mind. And anything that I could do to get within 4 feet of her, I would do. Because I was always angling to be with her. And I think when people started talking to me first about faith, the thing that made sense to me is that idea of Emmanuel, God with us. I knew what it was like to really want to be with someone. And so I had this lousy sailboat, and we would sit on this sailboat and read this book about being friends, and I don't want to be friends. I wanted to marry the girl. But if I had studied her and learned about brunette in the Greek and, something in the Hebrew and all that, but had never actually taken her out on what's called a date, I'd still be a bachelor. And I think that's the thing that made sense with me. When I think about faith things, I don't get the audible version of God. I don't hear voices. And I've asked him, I've said, God, I would keep it all attorney-client privilege if you could just lay on me one sentence, one word. But I don't get that. And I think it's because God, even though he could make stones talk, he gave us his inspired word, but he gave us each other, too. Mm-hmm. And he gave us these experiences, these things that ping us, that if we could do those, maybe we'd learn a little bit more about his character, and maybe we'd learn a little bit more about our character. And so I think that's some of the underlying basis for Love Does, that by doing things, wouldn't you find that true for you? That's when you really learn things about yourself and learn a little bit more about the God who made you.
We're talking with Bob Goff, author of the book Love Does, and really just to take that step and be bold enough to say, rather than think about it, I want to do it. I want to be a part of something that's so much bigger than myself. You say you're an attorney. How does an attorney become somebody who's so involved in things like Restore International, your work in Africa? I think you talk in the book maybe about being an attorney kind of funds the other things that you do, right?
Yeah, isn't that nuts? And your perspective starts changing.
Yeah.
As soon as you collide with Jesus, whether you're a baker, a radio host, a lawyer, or whatever, all these become just day jobs. Mm. These are things that you do, and I'm not trying to figure out what color my parachute is. I love being a lawyer. But that isn't going to define me. That isn't all I am, and it isn't all you are. What we do is we find the stuff that has drawn us towards Jesus, and then we bring whatever we've got. If we got a hook shot, we bring that. Mm. If we're not a shooter, we pass the ball. It's like this terrific pickup basketball game. And so I found myself a number of years ago, maybe 9, in India. And we saw these little girls being bought and sold that were the age of my daughter at the time. And I thought, this is nuts. Mm. There's got to be a way to do something about it. And so rather than starting organizations and all that, because Jesus wasn't big on organizations, he just took guys like me and you and others and said, just bring your hook shot. So we started getting East Indian investigators, and on subsequent trips, we'd go into these red light areas and brothels and find these little kids, do raids and get them, and then importantly, prosecute the bad guys. And we started doing the same thing in Uganda. The demographic for Uganda at the time was average age was just over 15 years old. And I thought, this is a nation of kids. And we were just on the, about 9 years ago, the civil war there was still going pretty stoutly, and it tapered off about 5 years ago. But we thought we could move the needle. So we just started going into jails in Uganda and finding kids and then trying the cases. Isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
That you could just go. But I think that people that follow Jesus are invited to a lot more things than they think they're invited to.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? If it's probably an outlook. And you know people that have been really timid, and they wouldn't go over to somebody's house because they hadn't called in advance. And well, then there's nothing wrong with that. Some people call that even being polite. But I don't think Jesus wants us to be polite anymore, especially when it comes to justice, which he says he's nuts about, kids, which he's always talking about, and even though he seems to hate lawyers, I think he could use us to do some stuff, but not just lawyers. Whatever it is, you bring your hook shot. Instead of just learning about it, are you this way when you read about a conflict in the Congo and they say there's a million people that have died? First of all, I can't get my mind around that. But second of all, my mind tells me, because I just read something about it, that I'm doing something. Isn't that weird? I don't know why that is. But it would be like if I knew a bunch of information about you, but I'd never really hung out with you.
Mm-hmm.
Wouldn't that be creepy if I said, hey, how was that wedding? You know, your aunt's wedding on Saturday. Wouldn't you be, they call, you know, they get restraining orders for people that have stuff like that. But they're stalkers. I realize, because I'm so good at memorizing stuff, that at one point, I think I realized that I was memorizing Jesus, and I was creeping both of us out. Like, it was really creepy stuff, because I knew his mom's name, and, you know, this half-brother's name, and this little place called Galilee and Nazareth. I could point to it on a map, do all this stuff, but I hadn't done anything with them. I just had a bunch of information.
You know, because WCSG's listening family has quite a connection to Uganda through an organization called Compassion International, which I'm sure you've heard of.
Oh, yeah.
We sponsor, as a listening family, a whole village of kids in Uganda.
Oh, you're kidding me. That's terrific.
Because of our connection with Compassion, we hear sometimes about some of the terrible injustices and some of the things that happen to kids in that country. So I want to go just a little bit further with your story about Uganda, because you have said that, you know, you were not afraid to go in and actually do something about it, whereas many times, because of such a fear of those who are doing the bad stuff, you know, of witchcraft and things, they don't get prosecuted. And yet you went in and were able to help with that process, and as a result, received quite an honor from Uganda.
Isn't that nuts? And that would be evidence of Jesus again. There's this guy who's always playing pranks on me. Did you have a buddy like that when you were growing up?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. Like I had a dozen of them. This one guy named Doug, he's not as good at it as I am, but he would try to play these pranks. Well, he made the mistake of telling me where he was spending his 15-year anniversary. He'd, like, got rented the penthouse suite at this hotel. Isn't that a big mistake?
Uh-huh.
So I took Sweet Marie, and we checked in as them into the hotel. And we went up and we ordered lobster and crumble. I didn't even know what the dessert was, but it was on fire, so we had two of them. And then the whole idea was we tidied up and then we left. And when he had this great evening there after us, the next morning he had this $400 bill from me. He's like, no! But he's been trying to get me back, but he can't because I'm a lawyer.
Yeah.
And like, I get this call about 3 years ago, and the fellow on the line said, this is Ambassador Kamuna Nweri. And I've heard about these schools that you're involved in and trials and stuff. And I want to know if you'll be the consul for Uganda. Or he said council for Uganda. And I covered the phone. I said to Maria, I go, it's Doug. He's pretending he's the ambassador. And he wants me to be the consul for Uganda. And so I said, great. Like, I'd love to be the consul. I'd love to be the lawyer for Uganda. Knowing that this prank was kind of go its way. But it ends up like, I get this call later, and they say, you've got to meet me in New York on Saturday. So I get on the plane, and I fly to New York thinking he's just pranking me when I get off at JFK. But at the airport are all these people from Uganda's cabinet. They introduce me not as the consul for Uganda, but the consul for Uganda, like a diplomat. And so would that be evidence of Jesus? It just would. It wouldn't make any sense. But 3 years ago, 3.5 years ago, I became Uganda's consul, and so now we get to go back and forth between the U.S. and Uganda and then help both sides to talk to each other. And if somebody's hung up, if some of your compassion kids get snagged, if there's a problem somewhere along the way, then we just help out.
Talk
about
nuts? Yeah, it kind of leaves me speechless because it is, like you say, it's just evidence of God. We're talking with Bob Goff, author of the book Love Does.
I don't know about you, but like the problem with my plans is that they all work, and then I get these puny little returns. Because they end up looking like Bob, which ain't much. But then when you do this, instead of putting a toe in the water, you do this cannonball, and you say, I'm going to do this thing, and I know it seems nuts. All my neighbors think I'm nuts. I'm looking right out my window here, and over the house is the flag of Uganda flying. And that's because, like, this is where the console is and the flag flies. This is Ugandan turf. Is that nuts?
Yeah.
If things go bad at the radio station and you need to seek asylum, you just come over here, all right?
You're going to invite me over now. That's it. And that's something you would do.
People will think you're nuts. Like, I have my neighbors, they lean over the fence and they go, you are nuts. And I don't try to correct them. It will look like we're nuts. But I think that Jesus said, and we're not supposed to do this thing like a prank, like do just a bunch of silly stuff and say, gee, isn't that swell? I think we do it like a caper. We're all leaning in, and we all say, like, what if we could? And then every great caper starts out like that. I don't care if you're 14 or 44. It starts out with, hey, what if we? And then we don't treat this stuff like brain candy where we just think about it. Like, wouldn't that be swell? Wouldn't this be swell? Wouldn't this be swell? That would be things they come up with at a think tank. Yeah. But our place where we work, we call it like a do tank. It actually sounds like a porta potty. It's like, do stuff. Don't just think about it. And we don't know all the steps, but take the next step. If there's a country that's been pinging you, like Uganda's a big deal for you and your listeners are so invested, call the embassy. Get a flight out to D.C. and meet the ambassador. He's awesome. And he'd be delighted, and you'd be delighted. And or if there's another country that lights you up. I'm the consul. You know what that makes you? That makes you my envoy. How cool is that?
There you go.
So just go and say, hey, I've come by to give you greetings, and these people will tackle you if you don't pray for them. It's just, so that would be, for me, where people think of the body of Christ, that we're the ones that are out there just doing stuff.
Yeah.
We don't do it, again, like a prank. That's like putting a Volkswagen on top of the gym. That's a prank, and it has no shelf life. But we want to be the ones that are doing things. It isn't because we think God will think we're swell, because he already thinks we're swell. We do it because we'll see some evidence that he's still alive, and we'll find out some evidence of his character, and we'll find out how he knit us to be. Like, there's probably so many things that you're able to do, and me too. Like, I'm able to do a ton of things, but I've been switching it up these last 4 or 5 years to say, hey, what is it that I was made to do? And then I just want to do more and more of that.
We are speaking with author Bob Goff, author, attorney, consul to Uganda. The book is called Love Does, and you use the word, I've read the book, I love the book, Bob, you use the word whimsy a lot. The whimsy of God's love and the kind of the spontaneity of following where he leads. Now, I'm hoping you can talk to me a bit about the concept of whimsy, and then if you could, tell me a little bit about how you've involved your kids in this process as well.
Yeah, I think that idea of whimsy, just because I don't hear God's audible voice, I feel like I should park in the handicap spots. I'd always thought that that was a handicap until I realized that, and that's really an asset, because the God of the universe chose to speak to me through not only his inspired word, but you. And then these kids arrive on the scene, and at first, you know, they're just the size of trout. And we're not talking about a lot, but then they're bigger than that, and they're 3 feet tall and 4 feet tall. And so I don't take them on adventures. They take me on adventures. And we don't have a television that's plugged in anywhere, and I just felt like the kids should hear from Dad if something goes really wrong. And so that 9/11 morning, plane hits a building, and I told the kids this horrible thing had happened. And they were 7, 9, and 11 at the time. I said, what would you do to make sense of your life, your faith, what you're hoping for? If you had 5 minutes in front of a world leader or Pharaoh, what would you say? And so Adam was the first one to go, and he wrote down that, you know, if I had 5 minutes in front of a leader, I'd invite him for a sleepover. Isn't that great when you're 7? Did you do that, like have lots of sleepovers?
Oh, yeah. That's
your big
cool
buddies, you put their hand in the fish tank to see if they went to bed. I could just do stuff. So that's Adam. And that's when you're 7, that makes a lot of sense. So I had him write it down. And then Richard was the next, and he said, I would ask them what they're hoping for, because maybe I'd be hoping for the same thing. That's a great one. He's like kind of the pastor in the making. And then our 11-year-old, she's the precocious one, and she said, if I had 5 minutes, I'd take this lousy video camera that we have. I'd say, if you can't come over to our house for the sleepover, what if we come over to your house and videotape an interview? Mm-hmm. And we'll ask you what your hope is in, and we could pass that message on to another leader. So we got the CIA website. You know, you can download it. It'll feel like you're hacking into NORAD. So we got the names of every leader, dictator, king in the whole world, and we sent a letter out to every single one. It was like thousands of letters. And we got a post office box because we didn't want Ahmadinejad to know where we lived. And so these letters went out. I made a deal with the kids. I said, if you get one yes, I'm taking it. Wow. And so we'd get dozens and dozens of letters every single day. We'd pull over to the post office after school, and the kids would get them, and they would ask me, like, you know, where's this country, Dad? And I'd like, I don't know. I'd point to the left. I'd say, it's east of here. One day, I hear all the squealing in the back of the car, and the leader of Bulgaria has written back to him, and he said, children, if you'll come to the palace, I'll give you your interview. And they're like, ah! They couldn't believe it. And I couldn't believe it either, but I said, we're going. But then the next day or two later, the prime minister of Switzerland said, children, I'll give you your interview if you come to Bern. And then the president of Israel said, I'll give you your interview if you come to Jerusalem. We got 29 yeses. Is that incredible? So we went. We pulled the kids out of school. The teachers were complaining. I'm like, sue me. So we just went. It was the best thing ever. It was all about conversion, but it was about converting us.
Yeah.
Like, we'd learn how to be better friends, and we'd learn how to meet people, and we could pull alongside of them. And at the end of every one of these interviews, the kids had a little box, and inside the box was the key to our front door. And they gave them to the leaders, and they would whisper to them. They'd say, you know what? You're invited. Mm. And I think there's this idea that they would never use it. It was just being cute. Mm. Now, I'm at my office. I'm invisible in this whole thing. And I get a call from the State Department. Get that? And they're like, Mr. Goff, with a really low, ominous voice.
Yeah.
And they said, are you aware your children are corresponding with this particular guy? And I was so stoked that our good guys knew that they were corresponding with that particular chap. I said, yes, isn't that great? And then they said, are you aware they're planning a trip there? And I said, yes. I said, do you want to come? And it was just like one of those awkward, like, you know, we're watching you kind of things.
Uh-huh.
But the great part is these people learned something about the character of Jesus. Mm. And they learned not from me, because Maria and I were just the roadies. They learned from some kids who would pull every single one aside to say, can we pray for you? And whatever, you know, flavor you come with, whatever you think about Jesus, can we ask Jesus to bless what you're doing as you're leading this country? Every single one of them would say yes. As a matter of fact, they'd bring them back to their private office, and they'd pray together. And that's evidence of Jesus. Mm-hmm. And you know what was other evidence? In Lindsay's email came one of the responses from these folks, and it just said this: we'd like to use our key. Isn't that great? I'd love to tell you. It was in the South 40 or something. We've got a guest house. We got a garage. It's got bunk beds. And so obviously we said, come on over. That would be this inexplicable idea that when we do a cannonball, we do that thing. You're a listener and you're thinking, like, Peru has been big on for me, or Bolivia or France or like whatever it is. Take the next step. Don't think about why it isn't, but don't do it like a prank. Do it like a caper. Mm. To say, we're followers of Jesus. What's the next step for us? And we're going to expect huge things will happen.
Bob Goff, author of Love Does. I've been so blessed by the book and by hearing you. And again, just reminded of how God has blessed and given you the opportunity then to effectively share that with so many. And I believe our listening family have truly been inspired. Bob, I just really appreciate the time and letting God work through you in the way that he has.
Hey, thank you. Thanks for having me on. And I'll look forward to getting into some mischief with you.
Let's plan on it. Hey, next time you're in West Michigan, I'll give you a key to my front door, okay?
Nice. I love it. All right. Hey, have a great day.
Thanks for listening to this family-friendly morning show podcast with John Baglio.